What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Kimberg, and today we've got a very summer league heavy episode. Going to be talking about games one and two, obviously played Atlanta, go to the next game, play Houston, split those two, and a lot to talk about between both games. Some guys had, a great two game stretch. Some guys struggled in both. Some guys picked it up from game to game. And there's a lot to kind of discuss and break down individually for each player and in terms of a roster outlook as well. So really just want to get into that. Don't want to, talk too much before we go. Jumping right into game one, which was on Friday, was a 94-88 win over the Atlanta Hawks. You had the big storyline, Zachariah Richesse, number one overall pick versus Alex Sarr, number two overall pick. A lot of speculation between who should go one throughout the entire draft process. Atlanta takes Richesse one, Washington gets Sarr at two, and they battle it out. I thought Richesse actually played pretty well, and I thought Sarr played pretty well, as well. But look, Washington starters, a lot of people speculated, will they start all three of their rookies? Does Johnny Davis even start? They went with Bob Carrington, Johnny Davis, Justin Champagne, Eugene Omorui, and Alex Sarr. A big reason for that is because Tristan Vucevic, Jared Butler Jr., Jared Butler, and Patrick Baldwin Jr. all didn't play, and I don't know if that's because they're injured, which I don't think it is. I think they're all fine. I think it was probably just to open up more minutes for the other guys. Because, I mean, if you look at it now, like, Jared Butler is a better player at the moment than Bob Carrington. Patrick Baldwin Jr. is better than Eugene Omorui. He's probably better than Sarr at the moment. Tristan Vucevic obviously would start. He's one of the better players on this team, but I guess they're holding him out to give more playing time to others, which I don't mind. Those guys are all probably going to make their roster anyway. I'd rather see some of the other dudes battle it out. But nonetheless, the biggest takeaway from this was Bob Carrington almost dropped the triple double in his first summer league action. 19 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Started a point guard, floor general, great vision across the board. Finding his teammates in transition, cross-court passes in the half court, running the pick and roll pretty effortlessly and making good reads. Just really, really impressive on-ball play from Bob, a guy that some many viewed as an off-ball guard coming into the draft. Played both on and off ball at Pitt, but he was tremendous. And the help on the boards for a point guard is something that I feel like went under the radar, but 9 rebounds from your point guard is special. So he was all over the floor, the best player on the floor throughout the game. Shot the ball very confidently. I mean, look, he went 4 of 8, 50% from 3. Through the two games, he's shooting 44% from 3. Just a very efficient night, 50% from the field as well. Just really couldn't have asked for a better summer league opener from Bub. Again, couldn't tell you. I shouldn't say that. I could tell, and I tweeted this out 1 minute in, he was the best player on the floor. And he showed that. So that's, Bub, tremendous, tremendous opener to Summer League. A bit of a glimpse of what he can be for this Wizards team and why they traded so much to get back into the lottery and take him. In terms of Alex Sarr, I didn't think he was as bad in game one as some critics thought. 12 points, 6 rebounds, didn't shoot the ball too poorly. I mean, I think it was 4 of 12, like not great, but not an absolute disaster at the same time. Look, his offense is limited. His offensive game is limited, and you knew that going into the draft. You really didn't take him for his offense. You took him because of his size, his wingspan, and his defense. And he displayed all that, especially on the defensive end. Rim protection was elite the entire game. 4 total blocks. There was a sequence where he had 3 blocks in the span of 40 seconds. It was 3 consecutive shots across 2 possessions that he just swatted away pretty effortlessly. And that just kind of shows you that length and that rim protection is there. And obviously it's only going to get better. He's only 19. But the offense is limited. He drained, a couple of nice inside shots. He had a nice off dribble three. He hit 2 threes, 2 of 5, so 40% in game one. The thing is, and you saw this bleeding into game two where he didn't shoot the ball well. He was 0 of 5 from 3. He settles a lot. He settles a lot for threes.
And that might just be a lack of confidence on his, interior offensive game. It could be that right now he's not strong enough to get down low and bang with those bigger dudes and really get and create his own shot. So if they give him a three, he feels like that's his best opportunity to help out. But those got to stop. The high volume threes from Alex Saar need to be cut down to maybe, 1 to 2 per game. And he's got to get his ass in the paint and really try to work on that interior game, because right now, the offense is lacking. But I thought he was pretty solid across the board in game one. Not like Bub, not as good as Bub, not as good as Reese Hoshea, but he looked fine. And that's kind of my assessment on him from the Atlanta game. You move on to a bit of a lower note with Eugene Omorui. A guy, honestly, I think he's like 26, 27. He's older than most of the dudes that are playing here, and I was surprised they put him on the summer league roster. But this is a dude that many didn't want to get playing time over the younger guys. He kind of is what he is. He's a bruising swing man. Like I wouldn't consider him a guard. I wouldn't really consider him like a power forward. He just kind of a middle position type player. I don't even know how to describe it. But he's not the most athletic. He's not the tallest. He's not the fastest. He can't jump the highest. He's not the most athletic. He's just kind of like plays off motor. And it's something you respect. And when you come in games last season, I'd be like, okay, this is nice. This is a nice change of pace. You got someone in here that actually cares. But when you go to summer league and everyone cares, and you go and you shoot 1 of 9 from the field, you have 3 turnovers. 5 rebounds, 4 steals. So like, not terrible, terrible in every category, but offensively it was a struggle. Defensively, he kind of gets picked on by faster guards and bigger forwards as that, kind of in no man's land positionless player. And I just, I think he was really exposed in this game. You saw it. I mean, he played the lowest amount of minutes amongst the starters. They pretty much went away from him after his struggles. He was the only starter in the negative. He was a -5. Every other starter was like plus double digits. So really, really struggle of a game one for Omorui. A guy that I've been saying for a couple months now is probably going to get cut. He's on a standard NBA deal, but it's fully non-guaranteed, so the Wizards can cut their losses completely free of charge if they really need to open up a roster spot, which they do. And I think he didn't necessarily help his case with his performance. Eventually, we'll talk about it in game two, got booted out of the starting lineup in favor of Keyshawn George. So the team obviously saw his struggles as well and acted on it. But I don't think he helped his case. I think Omorui's going to get cut. And this performance didn't help that. Moving on to a higher note, Justin Champagny looked very, very good. If it weren't for Bob, he would have looked like the best player on the team. But look, 18 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 80% from the field on 8 of 10 shooting. A plus 18, game high plus 18. Just terrific. Created from all areas of the floor, from the 3-point line, from the mid-range, getting inside, making some tough layups, really navigating some screen and rolls. He looked very polished. He looked very comfortable out there. And when they had him on that two-way deal last year, I was saying, why don't convert him to a standard NBA contract? He deserves it. And they didn't. He's still on a two-way deal. But look, I think he's, more than showed his worth to Will Dawkins and to Michael Winger. And like, look, if you're gonna have Eugene Omorui on your NBA roster, shooting 1 of 9 with 3 turnovers, and you're gonna look at Justin Champagne on a two-way deal, averaging 18 points through 2 summer league games on like 68% from the field, and you're not gonna switch them out, I don't know what to tell you. Like, Justin Champagne is miles, miles, miles better than Omorui. He deserves the NBA roster spot over him. And that's something that should happen. And look, what I could see happening is they cut Omorui to make that roster spot for, like, if they sign Anthony Gill or they want to sign another outside free agent and they want to say, look, Justin Champagne is not going to go anywhere. Let's keep him on the two-way deal. And then he can stay up in the NBA level if we really need him. And they do that, that's fine. But if you're gonna have Omorui, lingering around with this NBA roster spot, and you're not gonna give us a Champagne, I take that as a bit of disrespect if I'm a Champagne, because he's way better than Omorui. So I want to highlight that because I feel like a lot of people are talking about the three rookies and talking about Johnny Davis and a bunch of the bigger name guys, but not really discussing how good Champagne's been. And I really wanted to bring that to light, how good he's been through the first couple of summer league games. And speaking of Johnny Davis, look, my take on Johnny in game one is just like he looked mid, he looked okay. And look, 12 points, 6 rebounds on 5 of 11 from the field. If a second round pick like Bronny James goes out and does that, everyone's singing his praises, like, oh, this guy belongs in the league, and he was a good steal in the second round. But like, for a former number 10 pick in year three, those numbers aren't going to do much for me. I'm sorry, they don't move the needle much. Johnny Davis should be putting up 18 to 20 points per game and really looking like he belongs. And he looks like a solid summer league player. He doesn't look like anything special. So I'm not going to go out and say, well, this is great numbers and he's going to be a great, player in year three. He needs to put together a lot. And I also do want to highlight one of the worst shots I've ever seen. There was like 40 seconds left. The Wizards were up four or five, and he had a wide open three. And he had Sarr in the post. He could have just taken the possession down, given it to Sarr, got a good shot. He took the three, airballed it, didn't even come close with 40 seconds left. Gives Atlanta a chance. They come down. Bub fouls the dude on a three. So, like, there's a lot to be had for Johnny Davis. And you're kind of looking for him to show you something, and he hasn't done it. So it's kind of my take here. I don't think he gets cut. I don't even think it's a call. I don't think it's a close call. I think he's on the roster, but does he get playing time? I don't know. He looked pretty similar to last year. It doesn't seem like he's getting better. So look, it was a solid summer league game one. A lot to be excited about. Keyshawn George, he showed in game one why, he's still raw and he's a long way to go. But again, he wasn't that bad. And that's the reason he moved into the starting lineup in game two. But again, nice to pick up a win against Atlanta. Nice to see Bob Carrington almost drop a triple double. Alex Sarr's defense really, shined in this game. Justin Champagne was great. So a lot to like about game one versus Atlanta. And then you move on to game two versus Houston. Pretty much the opposite of that game versus Atlanta. You had a lot of struggles across the board, especially Alex Sarr. And what didn't help is that Reed Sheppard had 22 points and he had a really, really good game. And look, when you're a high draft pick, you're always going to be compared to the other high draft picks. And that's the case here. And I've seen a lot of outlandish takes about Sarr. But I'll address that in a second. I want to talk about the game overall. So game two versus Houston, 109 to 91 loss. The starters the same starters as game one, except Omer Rui gets benched, Keyshawn George inserted into the starting five. And George, I want to start on a positive note. George really displayed his full potential in this one. From the get-go, started the game off with a sidestep three, 14 points, 3 rebounds, 5 of 6 from the field, 3 of 4 from three. So a very, very efficient shooting night from Keyshawn George. Again, I mentioned nice sidestep three off the dribble early on in the game. Perimeter defense was solid, and that's something that I feel like doesn't get talked about enough is his length and size at 6'7" on the wing. Can really move his feet. He's a really good defender. And I'm excited to see how that will translate to the NBA level. So a lot to like with the efficiency, the smooth jumper. The one thing is 6 turnovers. That's not great. His handle is pretty weak. He dribble into some tough spots and not be able to maneuver out of them. And that's an IQ thing. I'm sure he didn't play too much point guard at Miami. And I saw a lot of people saying he's not a point guard. Why are they giving him these responsibilities? Why is he taking the ball up? It doesn't hurt. It's summer league. You're supposed to experiment. You're supposed to see what good guys are good at, what they're not good at. Now the Wizards know this guy is not that great at handling the ball. His, IQ with the ball in his hands has to improve. But they want to get as many ball handlers as possible, as many people that can create offense as possible. So they know that now, and they'll get into the lab and make sure he works on that handle, make sure he understands where to find reads and how to navigate the offense. But I'm not too concerned about the I'm not too concerned about the handle. It'll improve. What I am excited about is the smooth jumper, the confidence from three, the efficiency to which he did it, and you know, all that coupled with his defense and his length, it's a good sign that Keyshawn George from game one to game two already has gotten this much better. You know, just imagine him from game one to game 82 of a regular NBA season. You know, he's going to get a lot better, and he showed that potential against Houston. So going off of that, we can finally talk about Alex Saar and his struggles. And look, in game one, he wasn't that great on offense, but it was fine because he was great on defense. You know, in this game versus Houston, he wasn't great on either end. He was pretty bad on both ends, if I'm being real. And you look, you know, if you listen to this podcast at all, I try to be optimistic. I try to be positive, but that doesn't mean I won't call players out when they perform, you know, to not the best of their capabilities. And I'm going to do it in a respectful way, and in a way that's supported by stats and the eye tests and all that. But you know, just watching this game, you could tell Alex Saar didn't bring it, and that's not to say that he can't bring it, but he didn't bring it. 8 points, 4 rebounds. Obviously, scoring total low, but you don't expect him to drop 25 a game. The rebounds are low for a guy that played a high volume of minutes at, you know, 7 foot. To only grab 4 rebounds shows me that you're not being aggressive enough on the glass, both offense and defense. You know, that's got to be, you know, near double digits pretty much every game if you're Alex Saar. 4 of 14 from the field after, you know, a 4 of 12 shooting performance. What is that? 8 of 26 through his first couple of summer league games. That's terrible. 0 of 5 from three is probably the most glaring and the most disappointing. Look, I don't want him taking that many threes. You know, settling for that many threes again shows me a lack of confidence on his interior game, his post game. You know, maybe he doesn't think he can do it. Maybe he doesn't feel like doing it. A minus 18 plus minus is the cherry on the cake, or the cherry on top. Like, he was terrible. Settled for too many jumpers. You know, when you miss your first two or three threes, you know, you're open for a reason. They know that that's the best shot that, you know, they're willing to give you. They'll let you settle for outside jumpers, and when you consistently take them and you're consistently missing, after a couple, you need to realize you're hurting your team. You need to get your ass in the paint, and you need to start getting on the offensive glass. He didn't do that. And that's something he needs to do. Stop settling for so many threes. Start getting in the paint and being more aggressive down low. Again, I mentioned not aggressive on the glass. 4 rebounds won't cut it. You need to be more active on the defensive glass, boxing guys out, making sure that ball is yours. You also need to be on the offensive glass, trying to disrupt things. He doesn't need to be, you know, put back dunks and flashy plays. Tap the ball out to your perimeter players. You know, get physical in there. I didn't see that physicality, whether it would be on the glass, but I also didn't see physicality when protecting the rim like I saw in game one. I mean, you got dunked on by Cam Whitmore. There were a couple of block attempts that I felt were lazy or weak, where he didn't really go up strong to protect the rim. He didn't go up with the intent of blocking it. He went up with the intent of, like, making it a difficult shot, which is like, no, go get the ball. If you foul him, you foul him. But, like, you're bigger than them. You are lankier than them. You have the size. Like, why guards and forwards are getting layups on Alex Saar is beyond me. So it's frustrating to watch that, knowing that he is capable of that, and you saw it in game one. But look, he's still young. He's only 19 years old. He's gonna get a lot better. And it's summer league. Like, if you really used summer league as a scale to predict how good people's careers would be, was it Glenn Robinson for the Wizards that won in 2014? Glenn Robinson won summer league MVP. Glenn Robinson didn't do much in the NBA, if anything. He's out of the league in a couple of years. So, like, it's not that great of a translation as to whether or not a guy's gonna have a great career or not. I mean, you saw, like, Cam Whitmore was the MVP, and I saw a lot of people, he had a great game against the Wizards, 20 points. A lot of people were like, oh, Cam Whitmore is great. Like, ugh, Reed Sheppard, definitely the pick. You shouldn't have taken Saar. Even last year, like, Cam Whitmore was on the board, and you still took Bilal Coulibaly. I'd rather have Cam Whitmore. I mean, that take is just, that's so outlandish. It's so, you don't know ball if you would rather have Cam Whitmore right now than Bilal Coulibaly. Cam Whitmore goes out and has 20 points against the Wizards. You see Hawk, or you see Rockets fans, you see Wizards fans saying, I take him over Bilal. And then you go out and you watch him play the next day. He has 1 of 15 shooting, 1 of 15 shooting performance against the Pistons. I think he had 2 points. He was absolutely garbage. Like, Cam Whitmore from game to game might give you a really solid performance, but then the next game he's going to drop the ball. And he's not a great shooter. He's not great in a lot of areas. He's just bigger than a lot of the talent in Summer League. And that's why he plays well some games. But when you look at one game and you and or even two and you say that's already it's settled. Alex Sarr is terrible, or Bilal Coulibaly shouldn't have been the pick, and Cam Whitmore should have. It's these overreactions that I think make Summer League what it is. Make Summer League. I feel like when you're a person like that makes those takes, you don't know ball. You sit there from game to game and, oh, Cam Whitmore is great, and then the next game, Cam Whitmore is terrible. Like, why would the Hawks or why would the Rockets even play him? Like, take it for what it is. It's a summer league, pretty much a development league where guys who were just drafted or drafted last year, or if you're Johnny Davis, drafted 2 years ago, go and play and get to see where their flaws are, get to see where their strengths are. And whether or not NBA teams should use them this year or put them in the G League or cut them, it's not an indicator on whether a guy's going to have a great career or a bad career. That's what the NBA is for. So for all the people overreacting and saying that they should have taken Reed Sheppard over Alex Sarr, I disagree. I think Alex Sarr is the better player. And look, you can still say that while admitting Reed Sheppard is very talented, a terrific shooter, very smart player, and I'm sure he's going to have a great NBA career. But Alex Sarr should have been the pick. And for you to go out here and call him a bust, I've seen people calling him Kwame Brown, one of the biggest busts, if not the biggest bust in NBA history behind like Anthony Bennett. You're going to sit here and call Alex Sarr Kwame Brown after two Summer League games because he didn't set the world on fire? I mean, like, those guys are just the worst. And as a person on Wizards Twitter, I want to respond to all them and tell them how dumb they are, but that I don't want to seep that low. And trust me, I screenshotted all of the anti-Alex Sarr, all of the Kwame Brown comps. Like, for when Alex Sarr turns out to be a terrific NBA player, terrific two-way player, I'll have that ammunition, and I will. You better believe I'm petty. I will tweet out and I will tag those people that said Alex Sarr was Kwame Brown, or said Alex Sarr was a bust, or said Reed Sheppard should definitely have been the pick. Alex Sarr is not that good. And that's kind of the thing that frustrated me the most about this, is just the crazy wild takes on Alex Sarr already being a bust because he hasn't dropped 20 and 15 through his first couple Summer League games. So pump the brakes on it. Yes, has he struggled? Of course. And I admitted that. I think he has to be a lot better, a lot more physical on the glass when blocking shots. He's got to be a lot smarter and not settle for as many threes. But all of that will come in time. He's still developing. And you see a lot of times throughout Summer League, the guys by game four, even that fifth game, like they get a lot better. So just wait for Alex Sarr to kind of try to put everything together. And you'll see kind of what he is in terms of a great two-way player. So that's my rant on Alex Sarr. Moving on to Bub, just to round out the rookies for the second game. It wasn't anywhere as good as the first game in terms of efficiency, in terms of, obviously volume of rebounds and assists, but he still put up points. He had 18 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, which is a solid stat line. Inefficient from the field, he was 5 of 16. So that, but he was efficient from three at 40%. So that kind of showed me that around the rim, he was struggling a bit with maybe the increased physicality that Houston brought. But from three, he was still 4 of 10, or was he 4 of 10? I think he was 4 of 10 from three in this game. So a bulk of his points coming from the 3-point line, but still got his teammates involved. Still, he helped out a bit on the glass. Obviously, you don't want to see him shooting 5 of 16, but coming off a game where he shot 50%, he has that in his bag. So, not going to dwell too much on the 5 of 16 shooting. Still displayed excellent court vision. One of the things I liked a lot about Bub this game, and Josh Robbins pointed it out as well, he played great defense on the perimeter, very physical, especially in the first quarter. really made it difficult for guys like Reed Sheppard to get into their action, getting over screens, making sure that he wasn't just giving up easy layups or giving up easy pick and roll. Like he was in his face, and that's kind of what you want, and that's something that people don't really talk about a lot with Bob, is the defense and the length on the perimeter. He was a bigger guard at 6'5", good length. Like, he's a great defender. He's got all the tools to be a great defender, and he puts in the effort on defense, which is the biggest part. While an inefficient 18 at that, I was still impressed with what I saw from Bob. Still thought he was one of the better players on the Wizards, if not for Champagne, who's the top scorer for the Wiz at 19 points, 7 rebounds, 8 of 14 from the field. So look, that's 16 of 24 shooting, which is unbelievable from Champagne through a couple of summer league games. Really, really like what I've seen from him. Him and Bob were the two best players, two top scorers. I thought they played very well. Better showing from Johnny Davis in game two. Again, for a former number 10 overall pick in his third summer league, he should be dropping 20 plus points. But look, he's, again, you got to consider, like, Johnny Davis isn't a scoring guard. He's not going to be dropping 20 plus at any point, realistically. You want to see him play really solid defense. You want to see him make threes, and you want to see him be efficient. And he's been that, I guess, for the first couple of summer league games. But he was also much better than he was in game one, I feel like. 15 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 5-8 from the field. Made his only three pointer that he took. So look, still not top three pick, sorry, still not top 10 pick in year three numbers, but better. Efficient, helping out on the glass, playing good defense. It's solid. If this were Johnny Davis in his, first summer league, you'd be like, okay, this is pretty good. We can work with this. But again, in year three, there's not much that's moving the needle for me. Not much that's showing that, okay, he really belongs. And that's still to be determined. Maybe he'll have a pop-off game where he drops 25. But even then, there were games like in last summer that he had 22 points, 23 points. And he came into the NBA and he was still, not that great. So take summer league for what you will. I think Johnny Davis has been fine, and that's all. He's been okay. I haven't really seen much that's like, okay, like that's a number 10 pick right there. That's why they picked him. No, and I don't think you're gonna see that in summer league, from Johnny Davis. But he's been okay, and that's my assessment on him. Lastly, I want to touch on Tristan Vucevic. I was really disappointed. I was really disappointed for what I saw from him. He looked out of shape. He looked rusty. There was no legs on his jumpers. They all came up short. Didn't look to drive much. Was really just, content staying out on the 3-point line and throwing up deep balls and not really getting into the paint. Looked slow. Looked lethargic. Again, didn't. I'm not gonna say he didn't look like he wanted to be there, because I'm not gonna say that, a guy like Tristan Vucevic doesn't want to play or doesn't want to be at summer league, thinks he's above summer league, but from what I saw in the final 10 games against NBA comp to what I saw in summer league was drastically different. And I would really like to chalk it up to a rusty game where he was just trying to find his shot, find his rhythm. Probably hasn't played a game like that at this pace since the end, since what, April? So I would love to chuck it up to that, and I'd love for him to come out in game three against Portland and have a great, great game, and Wizards fans can kind of sit back and go, okay, that was a one-off. He looks fine. But if he comes out and he struggles again, he doesn't look like he's really engaged and he looks slow, that's gonna be where the concern starts to set in. And it's not the craziest concern. He's a 42nd pick. He's on a two-way deal. Like, it's not like this is your Bob Carrington where he looks terrible. It's not the end of the world, and I'm not going to call him a bust if he continues to struggle, but it definitely is cause for concern. Final stat line of 2 points, 1 rebound, 3 fouls, 1 of 6 from the field in 15 minutes. That's really bad. No way of really sugarcoating it. It's terrible. And even, you can look at his stats and say, okay, this guy played terrible, but the eye test. And I saw a bunch of people tweeting out that they saw the exact same thing as me, where he didn't look like he was into it. He looked like he was kind of going through the motions, and you never want to see that. But you definitely want some improvement. So, after a really great game against Atlanta, where I mean, Wizards Twitter was on fire. I saw what my guy Will Clayton put out a meme where it was the guy like looking away from his girlfriend at another girl, and he was looking at Bub while the other person was, his girlfriend at the time was Denny, like as if, oh, we're sad to lose Denny, but we've kind of moved on to Bub now. That's how good Bub played, and I think that meme is perfectly suitable for how the times are for Wizards Twitter. And you had a lot of people celebrating because it was a great game. I mean, Keyshawn George played great, Alex Starr played great, Bub Carrington played great. That's your three rookies that really balled out. Champ Penny was a really solid, contributor as well. And you got the win over Atlanta, a team that, you've, I wouldn't say been rivals with since that first. Honestly, I haven't liked the Hawks since the first series where they broke John Wall's hand. And the Wizards were a better team. If John Wall was healthy, they would have beat him and finally made the conference finals. They would have gotten swept by the Cavs, but it would have been nice to be there for the first time since '79. But nonetheless, there was a lot of speculation between the Hawks taking Reese Hoshea over Sar. Sar doesn't want to work out for the Hawks. Hawks fans now hate Alex Sar. Like, it was nice to win that game and see Alex Sar play solid and the rookies play great. But it was a real wake up call, I feel like. Going from game one to game two, you got thumped by Houston. Their top pick played a lot better than your top pick. A lot of guys struggled across the board. So you got to take it for what it is. You got to take the positives with the negatives. It's summer league, and you're going to see a lot of highs and lows from a lot of these guys that are raw and still developing. The overreaction's got to stop. From game to game, saying that your second overall pick is Kwame Brown because he's not lighting the world on fire, like that's ridiculous. And if you see those takes, just disregard their knowledge of basketball because they don't know what they're talking about. So look, those are the first two games. Hopefully I recap them in a manner that makes sense. But look, moving on, the Wizards got a couple of games coming up tonight, but I'm gonna release this on Tuesday at noon. So Tuesday, July 16th, at 8:30 p.m. on NBA TV, Washington plays Portland. I don't know if Denny Avdija is in Vegas. I think he is, so maybe he'll be courtside. That'll be cool to see. Hitting obviously a Blazer now. But that's on NBA TV. I don't know if everybody gets NBA TV, but I'm sure it's on Monumental Sports as well if you're in the local areas and you get Monumental. So that's against Donovan Clingan and the Blazers. And then daybreak between that game, you move on to July 18th. And that game is against Sacramento at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. It would have been against Devin Carter, but he had, I think he tore his labrum or something, so he's out for a while. So it won't be against him. There's not many, I guess, big names on that Kings Summer League team. But again, another shot to sort of sit back and watch the Wizards' young guys develop. Hopefully, Alex Sarr has a bounce back game. Hopefully, Bub and Keyshawn continue to, show why they were taken by the Wizards at those picks. And I'm pretty sure there's a fifth game that's, usually decided based on how the team performs in their first four games. So I'm pretty sure they'll have a fifth game as well. What am I looking for? I'm looking for Johnny Davis to show me that he's a 10th overall pick and show me that he's, 10th pick in year three and is so much better than, or should at least be so much better than the competition he's playing. I'm looking for Tristan Vucevic to show me that the struggles in game one of his summer league were just that, a one-off, and that he's going to come out and play a lot better. I'm looking for Alex Sarr to, shut off the doubters already and come back with a lot more aggressive rebounding, aggressive rim protecting, stop settling for threes. I'm looking for more of the same from Bub and Keyshawn. I think they played great so far. Champ Penny as well. So that's kind of what I'm looking for tonight against Portland and in the following game against Sacramento. But look, that's gonna do it for this episode. It's not easy to find stuff to talk about. It's really just summer league, and that's all that's going on. In terms of the Tyus Jones stuff, I don't want to talk about it too much, but basically the Clippers still have interest. It's a team that I talked about a week ago that I thought should have interest in Tyus, and they have pretty real interest. It's looking like the package would be PJ Tucker on an expiring $11 million deal. Who knows? Maybe they throw in Russell Westbrook on a $4 million deal, match salaries expiring. You don't know. But you know, that's the Tyus Jones stuff. But we're focused on Summer League. Big game at 8:30 against Portland tonight. Really want to see Alex Saar bounce back, Tristan Vucevic bounce back, Bob continue to ball out, Keyshawn continue to ball out. So again, that's gonna do it. I had a lot of requests to do a Twitter Spaces after the Hawks game. Unfortunately, I wasn't home, so I couldn't do one. But if you want me to do a Twitter Spaces after tonight's game against Portland, it's gonna end pretty late. It's a weekday, so I don't know if everyone wants me to. But what I might do is do a Spaces after the game on Thursday night. It's a 7 o'clock start. Should end around 9 or 9:30. I feel like that's more feasible to do a Spaces after that. And kind of recap all of the Summer League games instead of just the one against Portland. So if you want me to do that, just shoot me a DM, let me know. I respond to all of them, obviously. But again, that's going to do it for this episode. More Summer League hoops on the way. And hopefully the Wizards, you know, continue to showcase why the rookies belong in this league. So that's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate all for listening. Go Wiz.